I'm going to light these right off the bat because I have shaky hands. But we did peace and we did joy, and so I'm going to light them. And then today, we're speaking about hope. Oh, yes, it lit. We're speaking about hope today. And I am excited because I get to talk to you about hope. I'm going to make a caveat, just a little side note, that if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you have a hope today that nobody can take away. Nothing you can do can rob you of that hope. That's a hope that no one can ever take away. But see, many times in our life, we place our hope in the wrong things. We place our hope in our job or money or whatever that might be, and those things fail. When you have hope, it's kind of one of those things where you kind of take it for granted when you have it. But when you don't, when you've placed it in those things that will let you down, you realize what a hole is left when it's not there. It's kind of a you don't know what you got till it's gone type of a thing. There are many in this world who live without hope. They look at the timeline of their life and they believe that this is all that there is. I have friends and relatives and close family members who believe this way. Their hope is tied up in this world and it ends there. See, there's a clear end date to their hope. They die, done. So if they haven't lived up to who they think they should be or what they think they should be doing, they can look at their life as a life wasted. We hear it all the time. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. They had so much potential. Or you might even hear that. Theirs was a life wasted. Why? Because there's nothing at the end of the tunnel but darkness. No light. No light to be seen anywhere. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to ponder it this morning. While I'm talking, I want you to keep this in your head. What is your life? What would it look like if you had no hope? What would your life look like then? Really ask yourself this question. What if your life was devoid of hope? See, hope gives us purpose. It gives us motivation. It drives us. And when it's not there, like I said earlier, there's a gigantic hole missing. We see people without hope, and many times we've seen people that have just given up. There's no motivation. There's no drive to do anything. They've just given up. So what is hope? Let's define it, shall we? Let's look at it. To cherish a desire with anticipation, to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. I'm not going to worry about desire. No. These are both applicable because of two different words, anticipation and expectation. See, the Jews had been waiting for their Savior, the Messiah, the one who had prophesied to come, and they got him. Because God doesn't go back on his promises and the things that he says is going to happen. They got him. He just didn't look exactly like they wanted. They were expecting, their anticipation, their expectation was for someone completely different. A military leader who was going to take them out of the Roman rule. Get them out of that situation, just like Moses did for the Israelites in Egypt, just to kind of get them out of the situation that they were in. No, but they got much, much more than that. See, they got the Son of God, the one who would right everything that we destroyed and put everything back into order. They got a deliverer. They got a king who would reign on his throne forever. And one of the main things that they got through Jesus Christ was hope. Was hope. He came to give them hope because they were a people without it. I mean, let's just sit back and talk about it for a second. So we have Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you future, to give you a hope. Well, see, but God was talking to the Israelites, telling them, this is the promised land. This is what I'm going to give you. You're going to have future and a hope there. But see, this is how amazing God is that his word just transcends generations and time. And it's applicable and relevant for you right now. Why? Because you have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ today. You have the hope and a future. And it's a hope for all nations, a hope for all people. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 11. This is a long passage, so just track with me here, and I'm going to read it from here. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his
roots shall bear fruit. Jesus and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees or decide disputes by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. What? Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Listen to this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. We have to understand, this was the type of scripture that was being read aloud to the townspeople. So they were hearing of the coming Messiah. They were hearing of a Savior to come. But see, prophecies are nice and all, but unless they're realized, they're just words. See, Bill spoke last week on Isaiah 9 saying, "For to us a son is given." They were told all this was going to happen, but believing it is easier said than done. It says in Isaiah 7:14, where the Lord spoke to Ahaz, he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel." That means God with us. It's pretty amazing that 800 years ago, they got it right. That 800 years before he would actually be born, they hit the nail on the head. There's no coincidence there. God was preparing the way for his son to come in the world. He was laying the groundwork for hope to be manifested before your very eyes. And when Jesus got there, there was another one sent to prepare the way for him, which is his cousin John, which we know as who? John the Baptist. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This is absolutely amazing to me because it shows the type of planning and preparation God puts into his plans. He's not working within our finite minds and limits. No, he is working within perfection. So he's doing it exactly how it's supposed to be done. God was working thousands of years earlier to lay the groundwork to give you hope. And I love that. Think about it for a minute. We've talked quite a bit on hope, and these people had prophecies. They had scripture. There was nothing really showing them that this was going to happen anytime soon. There was a bunch of people in this time that had some semblance of hope. I'll walk you through it. So you're rich, you got some stuff, you know, goats and stuff, you got your flocks, and everything's going good for you. And you've sinned against God, so you walk into the temple, you buy an offering, you sacrifice the offering, and then you go home with your sins covered. And you do that again and again and again as much as you need. But let me ask you a question. Where is the hope for the widow? For the one who came in and put her last two coins in the offering box? Where is her hope? Where is the hope for the blind man, for the cripple, the ones who sat by the temple gate begging for mercy? Alms means mercy. Show me some sort of mercy. Where was their hope? See, their outlook was quite bleak. Can you imagine what the coming of Jesus meant for them? This was true hope. This wasn't wrapped up in your popularity or how much money you had. No, it was wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This hope was out of your control. You had nothing that you could do to control this. People had made a living off preying on people who wanted to be right with God. They would bring everything that they had to the temple and exchange it in order to buy sacrifices to cover their sin. But see, Jesus came to give hope to every man, woman, and child. No longer would you be able to buy your forgiveness. No longer would you be able to say, "I'm going to be forgiven this way." No, you don't need to do that. He did it for you. He made the sacrifice for you.
This is the amazing thing about Jesus. He came as a baby born in a dirty old manger, and he saved humanity. His birth was world-changing, earth-shattering, eternity-altering type stuff. This was huge. It was huge for humanity, not just those people, but for you and me. It was a giant thing. This was happening 2,000 years ago as God was reconciling everything to himself through his son. People's expectations were all over the map. See, they wanted a military leader. They wanted someone to come and take the throne and reign here on earth. Jesus wasn't having none of that. He's like, no, I got other plans. Big plans. Perfect plans. And I'm going to see those through because they're exactly the way it's supposed to be. Man, if you don't remember anything that I've talked about, I want you to understand that Jesus came to give you hope this morning. And if you know him, that you truly have that hope. It's hope that's not wrapped up in anything about you. It's got nothing to do with you. It's about him and what he's done. So now what? Now what do you do with that information? How are you changed by what you've heard? If we look at the definition of hope again, it says to desire with anticipation, to desire with an expectation. Can you truly hope if your hope is misplaced, is misguided, is false? You see, man, when I was growing up, I felt like I had a lot of hope. And my hope was wrapped up in me and the things that I wanted to do. Listen, I was going to have a rockin' band. We were going to tour the world. Yeah. And this is my hope. And I was going to be a rock star. And this is how things were going to go. And that changed very quickly. That dream that was taken away from me, and I found myself with no hope until I encountered Jesus. Then I truly looked at what hope was. Man, I know that you guys have dreams and you have plans for your life, but don't put all of your hope there. Understand that those things burn. They burn. They all go away. Your dreams, your plans, everything goes away. Your strength, your wisdom, all of it goes away. What is left? Place your hope in something that lasts. Pastor Ben says it all the time. John 10:10, Jesus came that we can have life and have it to the full. That's like his verse, right? But it's not just here that you can have life to the full, but that you get eternity with him. He came so that you can have hope. So what is your expectation today? What is your expectation of Jesus? If you've been here for any amount of time, this should come as no surprise. Your life ain't going to be all gravy and easy when you accept Jesus. All your bad things aren't just going to melt away. Like, if you're shocked by that, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And I think you've probably heard it before, that when you follow Jesus, your life's going to get inherently harder, not easier, because it's a difficult thing to do to follow him. We need to take some time to truly define what our expectations of Jesus are. Because, see, we can say, well, I don't really expect anything from Jesus. And then something bad happens in our life, and we're like, what? I don't want to deal with this Jesus. What truly are your expectations? See, the great way to have your expectations set is this, which is his word. Read it and allow him to set your expectations through it. God doesn't lie. He doesn't say things he doesn't mean. He doesn't work in maybe, or I'll try, or we'll see. We work in those all the time. Maybe, I'll try. Mm-mm. If he says it, he does it, period. We set our expectations from what we read in God's word when we're talking about what we expect from him. Read this. He's laid it out for us. We just have to come to understand it. We have to commit to understanding it. Listen, Jesus came as a baby, both human and divine, to save humanity from their sin and to right the relationship that we destroyed and continue to destroy. And his sacrifice, his perfect sacrifice, was the atonement for humanity's sin, past, present, and future. Through his death on that cross and your belief in that with faith, the main piece there. You get eternity with him in heaven. His blood covers our sins, and without his birth, his life, and ultimately his death, you and I have no hope. We have none. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came as a baby to save humanity. We're all sinners. Every single one. There's not a single person in here that's perfect. Sorry. Hate to break it to you. We know, if we read in Romans, that every single one, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know that the wages of that sin, the penalty of that sin, is death. If we know this, then we are all dead without Jesus Christ. And this is where he comes in, because he's the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice to atone. See, when he came, he broke the stereotypes that God was this distant God far off in his kingdom, in his castle, saying, I don't want to deal with my creation. No, no. He painted a far different picture. He painted a picture of a loving father who would sacrifice everything for his children. The most amazing part is if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we have faith and confess that he is faithful to forgive us. He wipes the slate completely clean, because as you stand before Jesus in your lifetime, he doesn't see all the wrong things that you've done. Why? Because you have somebody standing in the way, an intercessor saying, hold on, hold up. I got them. I got this one. Paid. So when he looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. And that's pretty amazing. If you've accepted Jesus today, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, then I'm telling you, you have hope and anticipation and expectation of heaven and eternity with him. How crazy is that? You did nothing to deserve it, but that is what God does. He bridges the gap for you and me and makes the impossible possible. You're going to sit with a multitude of nations and worship around the throne. There will be a glorious reunion with those who have gone by, and you will be full and complete, lacking nothing, completely fulfilled. There will be no anger, no pain, no tears, no want, no shame, no guilt. You will be complete. Go back to Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. We're going to throw it up on the screen. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but listen to this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf shall be together, and a child will lead them. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. The weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. Everything shall be made right. Everything shall be as it was supposed to be, and that is where you will be for eternity. You have hope this morning, and it's because of what Jesus Christ has done, and it should change how you live your life. It should change your perceptions and what you see. So when you go and you walk up to your Christmas tree, you can remember hope. Remember what Jesus did. When you're around your family who you really probably don't want to be around, remember hope. Because as much as you want to wrap this season up in a nice little gift box with a bow on top, as much as you want to call it about family and presence and time together, this season is about Jesus. Period. It's about him. And that should change the way that you live your life. You deal with obstacles, trials, disappointments, failure. This should impact your sorrow. It should impact everything about you. You have a destiny, a home that is not of this world. Listen to me, that you have a place prepared waiting for you. My question to you, where is your hope placed this morning? Is it in you? Is it in this world? Is it in the things that will burn? Or is your hope placed in Jesus Christ? He gave it to every single one of us. All we have to do is reach out and take it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, everything about him, God. I thank you for your son. Father, as we go through our life, help us to understand the hope that we have in Him, Father. It is not in things of this world, things that will perish, things that will turn to dust. God, it is in Him and Him alone, Father. Help us to understand what that means so that our lives are forever changed as a result. We thank You and we love You and we pray these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.